your name, please respond in the affirmative. Health Director Liberty?
Yes.
Health Agent McNeil?
Here.
Public Health Nurse Sullivan?
Here.
Regional Inspector McKay?
Here.
And Permitting Specialist Melanie Perkins is not available tonight. All right.
As part of the opening, mention that we're out recording.
We are recording as well.
So should it identify the members? You want to identify Steve?
And Steve Sherlock is...
Representative from Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, doing the recording.
Thank you. So, citizens are welcome to express their views for up to 3 minutes on a matter that is not on our agenda in compliance with GL Chapter 30A, Section 20. The open meeting law, the Board of Health cannot engage in a dialogue or comment on a matter raised during citizen comments. The Board of Health may ask the Director of Public Health to review the matter. As you are the only citizen in the room, do you have any citizen comments?
So on the behalf of my neighbors virtually, thank you for doing what you do. Happy New Year. From what I've understood through the headlines, clearly the flus and vaccines and protocols are changing drastically. So from my perspective as a news reporter, sharing your information to the Franklin community is going to be that much more important going forward. So I'm here to help.
Thank you. We appreciate your help.
Thank you.
So we have minutes from December 3rd. Did you have a chance to review them?
Yes, and I make a motion to approve the minutes.
I second it. Is there any discussion?
No.
So we'll go to a vote?
Yes.
Jeff says yes. Kim says yes. The minutes are approved as written. Under new business, we have the discussion of the blood pressure program at the library. Alicia?
Yeah, so we thought it would be a great idea to just put it out there a little bit more and put out a flyer and send it around, like it's hanging at the senior center, or send it around to Steve and other people at the town, just letting you know that the blood pressure kits can be checked out like a book there, just to kind of push it out there for people.
And I believe only 7 so far have
I think it was something like that. This is before we really started, because I didn't see what the library might have done to advertise it, so.
Not much,
yeah.
And Felicia did say that it's only been a sparse amount of people that have checked them out. So we thought if we started pushing it, letting people know.
I would assume, because it's at the public library, that anybody in Massachusetts could technically, with their library card, check it out. So I was wondering if maybe we could reach out to maybe, I know at the Bellingham Senior Center they often have a nurse doing blood pressure as well, and maybe if some of the other local senior centers, if we could reach out to them and let them know that it's available for seniors.
That's a good idea.
I sent it out to the CHNA, you know, how they send out like, oh, if you have anything for our newsletter. So I sent that to them.
Oh, good, okay.
Yeah.
And maybe the MAPHN?
Yeah, they, you know, they're always looking for new ideas. They're really focusing on that maternal and infant health stuff right now. It'll be good to.
And I'm thinking like
centers.
The Medway Senior Center doesn't go to Chinosex, Norfolk doesn't go to Chinosex, Brampton doesn't go to Chinosex.
So they're not aware.
So they wouldn't be aware of it coming from there.
Yeah, I did send it out to the nurses for Rentham and Norfolk also to post, because we have like that Metacomet site also, but maybe directly to the senior centers would be a good way.
Yeah, Sarah should have an email list, I would imagine, right?
Yeah,
contact.
I'm sure it'll be easy to figure it.
Do you have anything on your site that you can put on for that?
I've shared what was sent so far.
Yeah.
And that would be an audio opportunity if you wanted to.
Ooh, would you like to do an interview?
That would be awesome.
We would like you to do an interview.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
What about the newsletter, the Senior Center newsletter?
Yeah, I know I sent it to Jillian. I'll see if she'll put it in the newsletter. Because I know I sent it to them and I hung up the flyers myself, so people knew it was there.
All right.
How about the library? Do you have flyers set up there for it?
I haven't gone to the library. I did send it to them. Like, I sent it to every head in town, like rec, library, schools, like some of the school nurses I talk to frequently.
And I think because the table is set up at the library, that the library thought that would be enough of.
But it's on the second floor, nuzzled.
I know, like, here we are, right? So it's on a beautiful desk with signage and the blood pressure cuff. But that doesn't speak to that you can check it out.
Yeah.
I would put some flyers at the front door because I go there once a week with my dog. Therapy stuff.
Your dog reads?
Yeah, but I mean, if you had something there, and there's a lot of older people I see going in and out that probably aren't aware that.
They come to me at the senior center.
Yeah,
they do. Yeah, but if you get it into a few of the senior center newsletters, they read it, because I know with the coat drive that we did and the giveaway, when we asked a lot of people, they would say, we saw it at the senior center newsletter.
Yeah.
So they actually do read them.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, a good place to.
Yeah, I'll see to make sure that she puts it in there.
And check with Felicia if we can hang some.
Yeah.
No one's here, so I don't know why.
Just in case someone wants to come late.
Yeah.
Never know. We had someone come late last time.
Yeah. And then Alicia and I have been talking about the rising number of flu cases, too.
But we want.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you for doing all of that.
Oh, yeah, no
problem.
Really
appreciate it. Love the report.
Yeah, I had someone who came in who didn't have a blood pressure cuff. She threw it out because she was getting wonky readings. I just had got donations of a few, but I told her about the program at the library, but I was able to give her a new one of her own today, so that worked out nice.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to speak to the flu now or when you give your report?
The numbers are in my report. I can jump to it now. Massachusetts Department of Public Health has like a respiratory illness dashboard. You can look into COVID specifically, you can look into flu specifically, but it also just says like respiratory illnesses, and it's always like a few weeks behind to where we are, because it's updated on Thursdays. So from the Massachusetts Department of Health, from 12/14 to 12/20, an estimated 16.4% of emergency department visits were related to acute respiratory illness. It could be, you know, COVID, flu, RSV, COP, like respiratory illnesses in a general sense.
Not necessarily the flu.
Exactly. And we were having low COVID at that time when I looked it up, and moderate flu. I want to say, because things change, it's so fluid, I think we went from, we're at very high right now for Norfolk County for our flu. In the month of December for Franklin, and these are just reported cases, so people who go to a doctor's office get swabbed, and then it goes into the system. So this isn't people who, my kid had the flu, my whole household had the flu, but only one of my kids got tested, even though four of us were hit with it. You know, so the numbers are much larger. I had 141 written here. When I checked it yesterday, it was 145.
Is that for Norfolk County?
No, just for Franklin. Yeah, versus 27 last year in December. So we're having an earlier flu season. So if you look at the graphs, this is just specifically Franklin, that first graph, just kind of showing the number of reportable flu cases that we have. It looks a little weird. It's 141, but versus the 27 we had last December. And then I broke it down into age groups. Our biggest age group are ages 5 to 19. Taking up a majority of it, like 38%. It's a large age group.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, the younger age is getting it more.
Well, I also wonder, too, like with some of the younger kids, as a mom with younger kids, when you have a kid with a really high fever and, like, isn't looking so well, you take them to the doctor to know what it is, whereas someone like me, you know, I'll just go and, like, lay on the couch and be sick and just tolerate it. So I wonder. And that could just be our age group, whereas I want to know what's going on. What are we working with here? How long are we going to be sick for? Not to mention, if it's flu, COVID, some other respiratory illness, there are treatments available, and the treatments work basically within like a window, usually shorter from, they work better from symptom onset to then like Tamiflu. They want you to start it within 24 to 48 hours. The Paxlovid, I think, is up to like 5 days, but like the sooner you start it, the better for your recovery if they think you're going to get very ill from it. So that's why it is important to go and get tested.
Do we have a sense of what percentage of Franklin has got the flu vaccine?
So when I ran the report, even though vaccines can show up, it did not show up for the report that I ran. Did I not look? There's a way to look up, though, not necessarily for Franklin, but I think we can look up like Norfolk County. And I want to say we do have some of the higher numbers for flu. You can look that up on, they have it on that Massachusetts website for how many are vaccinated, but I think it's less than you would think.
Yeah, how many are vaccinated that got sick?
It doesn't say that. It just says how many are vaccinated.
That'd be interesting.
Well, you vaccinated 90 people at the adult?
Oh, more than that.
And then only 40 at the children.
So we did like a separate one. We did one at the senior center, and because I work closely with Brentham, and it was on like one of the previous reports, because we did that clinic back in September. I think we did like 140 people, just at the Franklin Senior Center. Because I did a flu vaccine today for someone. I went in to Brentham yesterday, took their last vaccine, and gave it to someone who was older and only goes to the senior center, gets like rides there, and gave him his flu vaccine.
And then the senior center also did another vaccination clinic.
Like a few weeks later, yeah.
A few weeks later with the Shaw's.
And we did another one for kids where I had more vaccines, but only 40 signed up and came. And that was in October, because I felt like that was a little bit, like, you know, some September, October, some people like waiting a little bit. It takes 2 weeks for you to get, like, immunity after you get that flu vaccine, and it should last you, like, 6 months, like the flu season.
Isn't it a little late?
Well, you start to get like coverage from it, like you have the immunity after 2 weeks. So getting it right now when we're still in the heart of it, like there's still flu cases pouring in. People are still being sick from the flu. It can go.
It's a new strain too. So yeah. this vaccine may not cover.
It may not even.
Covering this new strain.
Yeah. So, the flu vaccine on average is usually like 60% effective, roughly.
How about if you get the stronger dose?
So the stronger dose is recommended for people 65 and older.
Right. Does that cover you better?
It's just a stronger, it's like the same ingredients, but just a stronger kick, because when they did studies, they saw that people getting the regular flu zone or the regular flu dose, it wasn't giving as much coverage, so they upped it, but it's all the same stuff. It's just stronger.
Can we order 60 doses of the high?
80 and 20
of the high or 60 of the high?
80 of the high, 20 of the regular, and then I got 50 state.
Okay.
Which
so,
are regular.
So if there's a different flu going around, it's not going to matter anyways.
They say it might protect you a little bit.
Yeah, and they try to predict the best they can. Like they look at other countries that have flu seasons before us and try to predict what's going to hit us, but there's so many different types of like flu viruses out there.
I think it's Australia.
But there's a lot of flu strains out there, just like rhinovirus or a lot of those other viruses. There's hundreds of them, so it's hard to predict it. But we're seeing a lot of. I know the K has been talked about, but like we were seeing a lot of flu A around. That's what I'm saying.
For sure.
Yeah.
And now there's been 4 pediatric fatalities.
Yeah, I think it's like 29 adults and 4 pediatric.
What do you just consider pediatric?
I couldn't, I'm guessing 18 and under. Mm-hmm. I know 2 of them were under 2 from one of the reports that I read, but they can't give out like too much specific information on individuals.
Terrible.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I've talked to Alicia about having another kid's flu vaccine clinic, but
I'm just nervous about the turnout because, you know, there's Walgreens, CVS, pediatric, a lot of pediatricians still have the flu vaccine available, and they host clinics back in September, October, because those are the busy times, and then we pushed it out there and still didn't get the full amount that I wanted to, so I'm apprehensive to get more vaccines from the state, not have them, and then you have to go through like this whole jumping of hoops to like send everything back. You can't just like keep them and waste them.
Do you think with the high, the number of high cases and fatalities that more people would show up for their kids? So it's the luck of the draw, we don't know, but.
I don't know, I really don't know.
What if we started with 25 vaccines and see what our sign-up sheet looks like, and if that would give an indicator if maybe we need to do 50.
Yeah.
I just strongly urge that we should be doing something.
Try another clinic.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's criteria that needs to be met for state supply, but I think that, I mean, it's entirely up to you, but I kind of feel like
well,
we should be doing it.
Brentham has, I can see how many they have left over, too.
Why don't, even if
and
it's
we can
dead.
Even just start with, like, a small clinic
yeah.
and see if the need is there. Because once you order, it does come in pretty quickly from the state.
Yeah.
Like, it can be a couple of days to, like, a week, you know?
Let's plan something for, do you want to do February vacation?
Probably the
stupid.
Sooner.
It still can peak in February and March, so it's kind of
yeah,
like
the sooner the better, probably.
The end of January.
Because, like, if you ask me, like, mid-February, if I would want to get my kids vaccinated, if I waited that long and we're probably, like, in the peak right now, I probably wouldn't
there
if I had
another
it.
Another peak, too.
There could be, yeah, because, what was it last year? Last year it was January, but we still had a high amount in February. 171
yeah.
and then 118.
Yeah.
So it was still.
March, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Well, we'll talk more sideline. We'll talk
try
more
to get
Friday.
A date. Yeah.
And but I think that we should.
Try.
Just try because, I mean, our mission is prevention, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and with, you know, fear could be setting into parents now, and not every pediatrician carries it. And
no,
so,
not all of them
yeah.
do, but.
And is it
I want to say the two in Franklin do, because I've tried to have them take some of my vaccines before when I've had too many.
That maybe we can get the school department to partner with us in terms of maybe trying to advertise it?
They,
as well as
I have sent it to the school nurses before.
Yeah.
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 I sent it to the school.
Is there a mist that they spray in your nose for a vaccine?
There is one. That's the egg-free one, right? Yeah.
Is that a flu vaccine?
Yeah, there is a type, but that's a live one, I want to say. So it's a live virus, so people can get more side effects from it.
You also have to be younger.
And we'd have to purchase it.
Yeah. I don't know
about you. Well, I've done it.
Oh, yeah?
I have done it once, but then I age now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then we'd have to purchase it, Jeff, so forget it. No, we get 80 doses, not 100. Our 80 doses.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. It is 60/20. I don't know why I was thinking
our
that.
80 doses cost close to $5,000. So.
And who pays for that?
It's in my budget.
When I looked into COVID vaccines, it was like for 10 vaccines, it was like $2,000.
And if you
like,
send
or
it
like
back,
1,000. It was something crazy.
But did our insurance cover it?
Not fully, though.
Got the reimbursement.
We get a credit.
We get some reimbursement.
No, from
we did cover.
We buy it out
it
from
I don't think it does.
Right. By, so state supply, a certain criteria has to be met, and that's free, right? But for adults, we purchase our adults.
How come the state doesn't
like it
just says retain it?
Well, we don't charge an administration fee.
Most of the vaccines are the state.
When I buy the vaccine, I don't remember.
Well, yeah, because that 18, is it 19 or 18 and under? And then it has to meet a certain criteria.
Yeah.
All
right. Is there also like a rise in COVID?
COVID looks like, I have seen some of the numbers, but like if you look at, a good way to look at it is looking at like the wastewater,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like it's still around, but it's not like, whoa, look at that peak like we've seen before. It's steady, but it's not like as concerning as the flu. I would say like COVID is more like low, whereas flu, we're very high right now from last I checked. Because numbers change so frequently, so I don't want to. I know we're very high for the flu right now, though.
Well, that's kind of normal, though, isn't it, for this time of year?
So we're a little earlier. It was like we're in January now, but we were seeing a lot of the cases in December, and that usually doesn't. It usually starts really peaking in January.
Is it because the weather was warmer, or it was colder, or?
I don't think it has any. Yeah, I don't think. think it has anything to do with that, just like, I think we just
I think it's
got
the
lucky. Yeah, and it just...
Talk more Friday about a
yeah. I'll kids try to pick school. A day.
Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, so we're not doing a public hearing, but we are voting on restricting the sale of tobacco product regulations amendment.
Yeah, and so if you look at your minutes, you can motion.
Yeah.
You see there.
Right there, 500 feet.
Yeah, that's
for grandfathering.
Yeah.
Which one now?
So it's on the back. So, yeah. That's the grandfathering one. It's 500 feet, and then 1,000 feet for new one. And then we said the six milligrams.
Okay.
Yeah. So oops, one of you could motion that whole thing, and one of you second.
The whole paragraph. Do you want to motion? Specifics, the 500 feet, 1,000 feet, and the 6 milligrams.
I would just say a motion that the retail tobacco permit holders, so put retail.
You know what? I can do the motion because I got it right there.
Okay. So you have what I have in the minutes, though?
I got there, yep.
Okay.
We didn't have anything in here on the grandfathering. But
right, that's okay. Why it's in the minutes. I'd rather use my minutes, though.
Okay.
Right here. So just put retail right here in front of tobacco. And then,
okay.
Yeah.
So I move that the retail tobacco permit holders within 500 feet of a school will be grandfathered in for existing and new, and for new applicants, and for new application for retail locations will be 1,000 feet. And then we also move that the
minimum content.
The no retail or person or adult smoke shop sell. Or distribute or cause to be sold or distributed oral nicotine pouches with a nicotine content up to a maximum of 6 milligrams per individual pouch. And we are not limiting it to adult smoke shops only.
I accept.
Second. All right, so we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion?
None.
All right, so we'll move to a vote. You vote
yes.
And I vote yes as well. The motion carries.
Thank you. And then I drafted the new regulation that I'll have you sign before you leave.
Okay.
And then I'll have Diane sign it. That'll be the next meeting.
Okay. All right.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. And then now we're doing the regional health agent report.
Yeah. So I've just been doing a lot of the biannual inspections. There's been a couple like general complaints, nothing too concerning, more just little things to look into.
What kind of complaints?
Housing?
It
they vary, no, like food complaints.
Oh, they've been ridiculous.
Without getting too specific, some of them are just, yeah, very, very minor, but it's like, gotta go check it out.
No,
so
bare hand contact.
We haven't found anything like substantial, obviously, that we would be serious, but some of them, like the heating one,
cold potatoes.
Some of them are a little out there, but
we look into all of that complaints,
yeah.
Whether we feel like they're minimal or not,
right.
But
yeah, so those are on here, but mostly like catching everything at the biannual inspections. Those are like their big like routine ones, so everything's really outlined there. And then, I forget if I said last time, but we started allowing the residential kitchens. So I think now we have two in town, and people are really happy about those, the own business owners.
And just so you know, and I think you know this, the bylaw is that, and this is the DPW bylaw, that a residential kitchen has to be on septic, cannot be on public. So that's for now.
Yeah. So technically, I can have one at my house.
Yeah. Do your baked goods.
They're a cool concept. So yeah, there was one that started last month, and then one at the beginning of this month that's not in this report, but people are getting up on those. And then just a couple basic housing. And then, yeah, Kim brought up a good idea of kind of doing like a quarterly kind of presentation. I know we talked about this too, just about like some of the basic like different kinds of inspections, just so the public can understand, and any different like trends that might be important for them to know. Kind of just like more of a in-depth discussion of, without saying, you know, specific, but getting specific on the data and showing the public that. So
yes, so I think Diane did a presentation for us. Two years ago, maybe.
Yeah.
And you can run the same report.
Yep.
A
lot of the data can be pulled from the iPad, and then, yeah, that's no problem. I think
so
that's a good idea.
There were two foodborne illness inspections.
Yeah.
I'm assuming they're at different locations? Or
yes, the same one. Different.
So, yeah, so let me elaborate on that. So, if Alicia's notified of a suspected or confirmed foodborne illness, whether it be Campylobacter or Salmonella, if they ate at a restaurant in our town, then we have to immediately do an inspection, send that report to the state. So it's, we have no choice.
Any of those were complaints. It was just during the incubation period, did you eat at any restaurants? And the answer is always yes.
Yeah.
So then it goes from there.
Whether it's pinpoint.
And then we share it with other towns. I share it with other towns too, because obviously it's not just Franklin that people eat.
And Alicia gets the food that they ate. So we always want to identify if they ate pork, then it's consistent with Salmonella, Campylobacter, whatever it is.
And getting specific on checking like those where they're making that food, like in the restaurant. So it all kind of correlates.
And making sure that no one's been ill.
Yeah.
Because norovirus is really
spread.
Number one foodborne illness, you know. So, so we do our due diligence for that as well.
Excellent.
What a good team.
Great.
We know we
have
a good team.
Thank you so much.
Of course. All right.
I'll go back to... So communicable diseases, for COVID, this data is from 12/31/25, so it's subject to change. So during the week of 12/14 to 12/20, there were 1,565 confirmed COVID-19 cases, 238 probable. That was in Massachusetts. So just for Franklin, our total cases for December was only 37 versus 7. The previous month. I know we already talked about everything with the flu. You know, your biggest thing, how flu spreads, is droplet precautions. So good hand washing, cover your cough and your sneezes, which I think that's another reason it affects the kids' range, with maybe not the best hand washing and just generally not covering their coughs and sneezes really good. Exactly, and when it comes to respiratory illnesses in general, just to keep in mind, you know, like, what were the COVID guidelines, what's this? It's now just respiratory illnesses. So you stay at home when you're sick, you return when your symptoms are improving, and you haven't had a fever for 24 hours without the use of medication. If you're in a public place or around people who are immunocompromised, it's recommended that you wear a mask for 5 days. So you just keep that in mind. Central Park Terrace, I continue going over there monthly. We did the brain games on 12/22, also blood pressure and blood sugar clinic on that day. For meetings, trainings, and events, I continue with my biweekly and monthly local Board of Health webinars. I did a cancer prevention webinar on 12/4/25, and I'm now part of the FCAT. It's like a Franklin Crisis Intervention Team, right, Zoe? Meeting that we had at the fire station on the 3rd. And I also did a training on detection and management of high blood pressure in community settings. It was in person on 12/10. It was like an all-day thing. And then an online portion on 12/11. It was really good. Some things have changed in taking a blood pressure. And it was like a good review of medications, so many different factors that can alter someone's blood pressure to make it go high. It's kind of interesting, though. They were talking about how, like, American Heart and a lot of those places, they're really pushing for people to take their blood pressures with automatic versus a person because of the error of humans, but I don't really, like, necessarily agree with it. Because there are people with certain medical conditions, too, and they won't get an accurate reading with
What's
blood pressure
automatic?
Cuffs using the machines versus, like, a person taking it. They think it's more accurate. I know. That's what they said.
I saw my neighbor, they took him out when he had COVID and he was doing the automatic.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, they also, they say that that works really well.
Well, he died.
They do say that that works really well, but here's the problem. The first responders have to be really quick and good at putting it on. If not, you're wasting precious time.
Yeah.
But and then for nursing care, I continue with my office hours at the senior center on Thursdays, blood pressure and glucose monitoring, wound care, case management services, and referrals.
Nice.
Yes.
I think it's actually really nice to watch you since I kind of like
we have fun
through there all the time.
Yeah.
It's always, she has, in the short time that she's been doing her office hours, she's so much integrated as part of that that they just like wander in her office and it's on office hour day. But I want this. But I think it's good because she's made them feel so welcome that they are very good at sharing with her and asking for information. And I think that's a huge credit to you.
Yeah, we have a very good relationship with people over there.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right. So, future agenda items. Maybe we can talk about generators in the future, just in general.
Generators in general?
Generators in general.
Okay. Generators for vaccine.
Vaccine and the senior center with the food. But then, but then, technically, I don't know how the schools were affected by that. Maybe we need to look into that. Because the schools lost power, too. And so I'm not sure what they did with their food or how they handled that because I wasn't part of that.
Yeah.
I would hope their generators cover those kitchens.
Well, it doesn't in the senior center.
Well,
that's interesting.
The generator failed was the problem, too. So even though that stuff wasn't hooked up to the generator also failed.
That could be easily changed. You guys should push that to have that done.
I was going to say, I know nothing about any of that stuff.
Yeah. No, I understand, but that's something
like
that we should be pushing.
I'd like to have a discussion on that, maybe a recommendation that
the food gets under that generator.
Yeah, because they had to throw out a little bit of food at the senior center.
And what you had to
only
do just to save it.
We moved most of the food out, so we were lucky.
Yeah, I mean, because we went there's no food. Like, all the food that was there didn't need to be refrigerated. They'd already moved it.
Yeah, because we moved it on Friday.
The eggs, milk, and cheese, I had them discard because they put it in a smaller fridge, and that lost power. So.
Yes.
Yeah. But anyway, okay, I just wrote that down.
All right. Could you write that to have the town look at moving the power into that area? Do they have it on the generator?
I can talk to Jamie about it for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, any other?
Not that I can think of.
I just want to thank you. We both want to thank you all for everything that you guys do. We're very fortunate to have all of you looking forward to town.
Thank you, Kim. Thanks, Steph.
Thank you.
I make a motion to adjourn.
I second it.
Yes.
And yes. So we are adjourned.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tintype Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.